You'll notice in your worship bulletin, if you open that, you'll find a section called Scripture Surfing. And if you're new here, that's what we're going to move to right now. Last week's Scripture Surfing, we want to look at last week's readings of Thursday and Friday this morning. And then tonight we'll look at the readings of Saturday and Sunday of last week. And what you have there in your worship bulletin, that's for you to start tomorrow. Those readings. To meet with the Lord through His Word. So turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. And if you're new at this, you open your Bible. There should be one next to you in the chair. Open your Bible to the middle and then turn to the right. You'll see Jeremiah and then you'll find Ezekiel. Let's look at Ezekiel 37. Look at verses 4 through 6 with me as we have these readings from these chapters. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. And cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.'" God's speaking to the prophet Ezekiel here. Ezekiel's walking among these dry bones, and God says, "Here's what I want you to do. Prophesy. Speak this word to these bones." And then he did it, and God did his part, and God made him live. God made him come to life. God can do anything, can't he? Maybe you've got some dead things in your life, some dry areas that need God's Spirit, His touch. He can do it. Look at 38, chapter 38. Look at verse 23. "And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord." Turn over to chapter 39 and look at verses 22 and 23. "From that day forward, the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God, and the nations will know that the people of Israel went into exile for their sin, because they were unfaithful to me. So I hid my face from them and handed them over to their enemies, and they all fell by the sword." God's judgment of sin, the wages of sin is death. Turn from sin. Follow the Lord. Then look at chapter 40 and look at verse 5. And just notice the detail of God here. God is a detailed God. And he's showing Ezekiel this vision of the temple, and this man with a measuring rod comes, and you'd be amazed. Well, if you read it this past week, you see the detail that God has here. Let's just look at verse 5. "I saw a wall completely surrounding the temple area. The length of the measuring rod in the man's hand was six long cubits, each of which was a cubit and a handbreadth. He measured the wall. It was one measuring rod thick and one rod high." Then turn over to John. Let's look in our New Testament readings. John chapter 5. Look at verse 6. And if you're new, this is in the New Testament. That's that last third of the Bible. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 5, look at verse 6. Jesus speaking to this invalid who's been like this for a very long time. He says this in verse 6. "When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?'" You know, it sounds kind of funny, but you know, I bet the Lord may need to ask us that question a lot. He might need to ask you that question a lot. We might be praying about something, but maybe the Lord really has to hit us in the heart and say, hey, do you really want to get well? Do you really want to get well? Sometimes that's the question. Look at John chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Jesus has just fed the 5,000 with five little loaves of bread and two fish and fed 5,000 people, multiplied it by his miracle. And then in 6, look at verses 12 and 13. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. God is a God of abundance. He doesn't just provide what you need. He goes overboard. He's a God of abundance. And take home your leftovers at the restaurant. You might notice that in there too. Let nothing be wasted, he said. Then turn over to Psalm 149. You may not have time to turn there before I read it. I just want to read you the first verse. We already read Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Well, now turn over to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, let's look at our choice this Christmas. This Christmas, you choose. Will you choose joy or stress? It's up to you. You choose this Christmas. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord, and thank you for it being living. Lord, that it is more like a phone than a book, that you speak to us through it, Lord. And right now, make our hearts open and soft and receptive to hear your word and to put it into practice, Lord. Lord, get me out of the way. We need to hear from you. Speak to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This Christmas, you choose joy or stress. What is your choice? Anna and I were running a couple of errands last night, and we went out to East Chase, and we shopped just a little bit there at East Chase, and I saw it. I saw the hustle and the bustle. I saw as we came in this store the beautiful Christmas decorations everywhere. I heard Sinatra singing one of his Christmas songs. I saw all of the people in that store looking and trying to get gifts, trying to find the right gifts for people. It's already started. It's already here. It was here Black Friday or before. But there is a hustle and a bustle and things that need to be done, things that you need to check off your to-do list before that day arrives, Christmas. And so the question is, will you choose joy or will you choose stress in the midst of all that? Well, we know in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, God tells us what his choice is. God tells us what he wants us to choose. Be joyful always, says the Lord. That's at Christmas. That's in the hustle and the bustle. That's when life's tragedies hit. That's always. God says, be joyful always. Scripture is God's word. Scripture tells us that. And when Scripture speaks, God speaks. So God is telling you and he's telling me this morning, be joyful always. I could see him saying it personally with a smile. Just saying that to you, be joyful always. Well, how are you doing? Where are you in that? Are you joyful? Or are you stressful? Are you full of joy right now as this season is here and it is approaching? Or are you full of stress because this season is here and it is approaching? It has arrived. Where are you right now in the Christmas rush? Well, I bet you want to check the box of joy there in your worship bulletin. I bet you want to do away with that box of stress and you don't want it near you. And you want to do what God says and be joyful always. Well, how can we do that? How can you choose joy over stress in this busy and hectic season? Well, let's step back. Step back to the beginning. Let's step back and go God's way. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, let's look at verses 8 through 14 together and get some answers here that we may choose joy this Christmas season. Luke 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." How can you choose joy over stress this busy and hectic season? Well, first of all, remember what the angel said here in verse 10. That's how to choose joy. Remember this Christmas season, remember what the angel said in verse 10. Look at it. The angel comes to these shepherds, surprises them. They're terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So this angel came to bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That was the shepherds back then. That was for all the people back then. That's for you and I today. That's for all of us. It's for all people. This message is a message of joy for you, for all the people. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. And so know that today the joy is available to you. The whole message here is that God brings His joy, good news of great joy that is for you. He wants you to have it. He wants you to experience this joy. He wants you to choose joy this Christmas. And so there is joy for you. Know that. And notice that it is for all people. Look who God came to here. He came to the shepherds. These were some of the lowest of the low people in that day. Not looked highly upon in society. Almost outcast. And so God went to some of the lowest of the low to bring His highest of the high message. And I don't know exactly why He did that, but some of my speculation says, well, maybe it's so that we would know this message is for all people. If God will start out on who humanity thinks is the lowest and who humanity kind of pushes to the side, if God starts with them and says, "Here's who I'm giving my greatest message to, the lowest of the low," maybe it would prompt us all to realize and think, well, my goodness, if it's for them, it must be for everybody. It is for everybody. He brings you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And that's for you. He has joy for you. It's for you this morning, this Christmas season. It is available. And He wants you to have it. But don't be like the man sitting on all that oil in Texas. Don't be like a man that had his house on a lot, that didn't think he had anything and was scraping the bottom of the barrel just to get by. Didn't have any finances, lived in a little shack, but didn't realize that he was sitting on oil. He was really pretty wealthy, but he wasn't living like it. Don't be like that. God has all that joy for you that you are sitting upon. Good news of great joy that is for you. You don't have to use it. You can just sit on top of it, not do anything with it. Live without it. Live down and out. Live depressed. But He's got it there for you. It's there. Do you know that it's available for you? And not only is it available, but do you realize that God commands you to have it? What did He say? Be joyful always. It's a command, not just a wonderful benefit of knowing it. It's a command. It says it out on a marquee in another way. God says it in other places too. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then He says, I will say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. God wants you to have joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. He says if we are following Him, if we connect to Him and abide in Him, it will come from our lives. It's not something you can muster up. You can't get joy. You can't make yourself have joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. As you depend on Him and you trust in Him and you lean on Him, He gives it. So, remember what the angel said this Christmas. How can you choose joy over stress? Remember what the angel said. And secondly, rejoice in your Savior. Rejoice in your Savior. We see that in verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Rejoice in your Savior. So the joy is available. God wants you to have it. He commands you to have it this Christmas season. But you've got to take it. You've got to take the joy. It's not just passive. You've got to take the joy. You've got to receive it. Rejoice in your Savior. Rejoice in your Savior. This is a gift given to you in verse 11. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. There is a gift, an incredible gift that has been given to you. But you've got to receive it. There is this Savior, this Deliverer, this One who wants you to have joy and brings joy. But you got to receive it. You got to take it. That's how it is with a gift. You got to receive it or it's not yours. Christian had a birthday recently and his cousins from South Carolina showed up at the house and had his gift for him and brought him a birthday present. But he didn't just sit there and do nothing with it, sit on top of it and let it sit. No, he took it and he unwrapped it and he, with anticipation and excitement, he looked in there and tore that open and he found an Air Hog helicopter. My goodness, he can charge that thing up and he can fly that thing. That thing flies. It comes up off the ground. He can fly it in different places. And he had joy from that. He still has joy from that. What are you doing with God's gift? Today, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Have you received Him? Have you received that gift? And then if you have Him, have you received His joy? Are you receiving His continual joy and His blessings? You got to take it. You got to unwrap it. You got to receive it. Take it. Take this Savior. Let's look at that word just a little bit. Savior. Today, a Savior has been born to you. The Jews and the Gentiles were familiar with this, a Savior. They knew it's a deliverer. It could be a deliverer, a healer, a benefactor. Sometimes they used it for men of that day. Caesar Augustus, a Savior. Here's a Savior. But one to deliver them. One who delivers from Roman rule or from sickness or hardships. A Savior has been born to you. Now, our Savior today, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, the main thing our Savior came to deliver us from was sin. Something we are all in, something we all have. We are slaves to sin. There's nothing we can do about it. And the penalty is death and hell. And that penalty rests upon you as a sinner, as a human being. And so we are slaves to sin. There's nothing we can do about it. We will sin. And then our penalty is death and hell. When we die, that is what we have for our sins. And that's where our deliverer comes in. He is today in the town of David. A Savior has been born to you. He is your deliverer from your penalty, from your slavery to sin and your penalty of death. It's sin's penalty. He's a deliverer from sin and its penalty and the slavery to sin. Once we receive Him, our deliverer, we actually have the ability to obey God by His Spirit and to follow Him, whereas before we didn't. He's a Savior from sin and death. And then beyond that, He's a Savior for anything and everything else. He's our all in all. I've shared a story before about, if you imagine a boy playing in a sandbox and wanting to build his roads for his cars and make some roads right through the middle of the sandbox, but there was a huge rock in the middle of his sandbox, and he was trying to get it out. Maybe an older brother had put it in there, but he was trying to get it out, and he couldn't budge it, and he couldn't make his roads, and he tried, and he tried, and he tried, and he finally fell down in exhaustion with tears and crying. He needed a deliverer. He needed a Savior. And you see, his dad was watching this whole scene, and his dad came walking up and said, "You need some help, buddy?" He said, "Yeah, I can't move this thing." He said, "Why didn't you use all your strength, all your power?" And that dad just picked up that rock and just set it aside. "Go ahead, son." He needed a Savior. We have a deliverer, a Savior from not only sin and death, but from everything and anything. Jesus is our all in all. And whatever it is that you're facing, whatever it is that you need deliverance from, you just ask the question, could Jesus overcome this? Just ask that question. Is He powerful enough to overcome this? Well, the good news as a believer is He's in you. He is in you, and He is powerful. He is your Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And so remember, how can you choose joy over stress? Remember what the angel said. Rejoice in your Savior. And finally, remain focused on Him and enjoy God's peace. Remain focused on Him and enjoy God's peace. We see this in verses 12 through 14. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." Remain focused on Him, your Savior, Christ the Lord, and enjoy God's peace. You see, in verse 12, they're told to search for Him or seek Him. In verse 12, it says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." You see, they were supposed to look for Him, to find Him, to seek Him. Do you do that with Jesus? Are you looking for Him all the time? Are you constantly looking for Jesus? Are you constantly praying for spiritual eyes to see? Are you constantly seeking His face and looking for Him all around you through any given day and seeing, "Lord, where are You working? What are You doing? Help me to see You. I want to follow You, Lord." When you get that focus, when He opens your spiritual eyes and you get Jesus in view and you get focused on Him, and then you do Romans 12:2 and you fix your eyes on Jesus and you lock in on Him. Just like somebody playing a video game and they're scanning through, maybe it's a war video game, and they're scanning through, and then they find that enemy airplane, and then they lock in on it, and it turns red around, and they got that target locked in. Do you do that with Jesus? That's fixing your eyes on Him, getting Him in view. Lord, help me to focus on You. Let me see You. And then, Lord, lock my eyes in. Keep me fixed. Keep my eyes fixed on You today. Stay focused. Remain focused on Him. And then enjoy God's peace, because that is the result. When we stay focused on our Savior, our Deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the result is fruitfulness. Focus brings fruitfulness. When we stay focused on Jesus, that brings the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy. That's what we're talking about all day today, and that's what we're talking about this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. As we stay focused on Jesus, trusting in Him, following Him, abiding in Him, remain focused on Him, and then enjoy God's peace. That's where it is. You will have His peace. You will have His joy. And then you can check that box of joy. I want to invite you to do that today. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know which box you would have checked coming in here, but I pray that every one of us will check that joy box before we leave here this morning. So, this Christmas season, how can you choose joy over stress? Remember what the angel said. That joy is here. It's for all people. It's for you. Remember what the angel said. Rejoice in your Savior. And then remain focused on Him and enjoy God's peace. Pray with me. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this season. And we thank You for, Lord, not only that You are the way to peace and joy in the busyness and the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, but that You, Lord, You are the way to peace and joy in the midst of anything and everything, the cancer, the death, the tragedy. Lord, You are the way to the peace and the joy. Lord, would You fix our eyes on You, Jesus, and may we depend on You and trust in You this Christmas season. May we know that that joy is available, what those angels said, and may we, Lord, may we receive it. May we rejoice in You, our Savior. May we remain focused on You and enjoy Your peace. And Father, if there's anyone today who does not have Your peace because they're without a relationship with You, Lord, would You help that one to call out to You right now and to say, Lord, I just need You. I heard him talking about this death and this hell, this slavery of my sin. And Lord, I know I've sinned against You. I know that penalty is death and hell. But Jesus, I thank You for what You did for me. I thank You that You're my Savior, that You're my Deliverer. I thank You that You took all my sins to the cross and You took my punishment and that You're raised from the dead. And Jesus, I call on You this morning. And I say, save me, Lord. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Come into my life. I trust in You, Lord, to save me from my sins. I give my life to You. Help me to follow You all of my days. Lord, maybe there's others that are searching for a church home, Lord. And Lord, if this is the place You want them to connect and plug in and be a part of this body of believers, we know You want us to be a part of a body of believers. If this is the place, Lord, speak to their hearts. And Lord, may they hear Your voice and step forward as Chris leads us in this song. And Lord, maybe there's something You're speaking to someone else about another decision or an illness or something. Lord, work in their hearts Your perfect word and help them to respond to You and do whatever You say and obey You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's a decision you need to make, you come as Chris leads us in this song and you share that. Share that with me.